Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, these words of Jesus are recorded. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. You see, so detrimental is sin to our salvation, and so antithetical to our life in God, that Jesus exhorts us to do whatever is necessary to separate sin from our lives, even if that means plucking out our eye. For you see, that eye can be replaced in eternity, but our salvation cannot. And thus, if our eye threatens our salvation, we should get rid of it. I want to look at that teaching of Jesus today in our message, but we're going to spell that one word a little bit differently. Instead of looking at the eye, E-Y-E, that we might need to get rid of, we're going to look at the I, spelled I, that often gets in the way of our faith and our trust in God. We saw it firsthand this morning in our Old Testament reading from Exodus. God spoke to Moses from within the burning bush, told him that he had chosen him to be the one to go to Pharaoh and to lead the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and take them to the promised land. But unlike Abraham, who when God came to him and told him to go to a land that he would show him, or told him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, who just simply went, Moses questioned God. He said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Said in another way, Moses might have asked, "Why me? Why choose me? What makes me more qualified than anyone else? What is there in my life resume that makes me the clear choice? Why am I the best man for the job?" But God doesn't answer Moses' question, not really. I suppose God could have said something like, "Well, you seem like a good candidate for the job since you did grow up in Egypt and you speak the language and you know the people and the culture, and oh yeah, Pharaoh is kind of like a relative of yours, and you have obviously been sympathetic to the plight of the Hebrews." But God doesn't say any of that, because all of that is incidental to God's choosing of Moses for the job. Instead of looking to reasons that lay within Moses as to why God chose him, God simply says to Moses, "I will be with you." You see, Moses hadn't learned this yet, but he would. It didn't matter who Moses was. It only matters who God is. God's ability to use Moses for his purposes had absolutely nothing to do with Moses' competency or his talents or his experiences. Moses' capability to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt was a statement of God's power, not of his own. And thus, Moses needed to hear and he needed to heed Jesus' words, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For Moses' eye was getting in the way of his going for God. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? His question was irrelevant because it never matters who I am or what I have done or what I am capable of. It only matters who God is and that He is with me. Moses isn't alone in his eye problem, is he? I think all of us have some trouble with our eye causing us to sin. The rich young man in the scriptures came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? Michael Jackson sang a song many years ago about changing the world. It's a song called The Man in the Mirror, and he said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change. It's obvious from this song that Michael believed the starting point for making a change was all about I. If you listen to many of the popular preachers on television these days, you will hear numerous sermons about taking control of your life and about mastering your mindset and about determining your destiny. And with so many of them, this empowerment all begins with self-control and self-discipline rather than with self-surrender. Far too many of these preachers still focus upon what you and I must do rather than upon what God has done. Their eye is still causing them to sin and to teach a message that looks for inherent or earned worth from within each of us, rather than the all-sufficient substitutionary worth of Jesus. Jesus told Paul that his power was made perfect in our weakness. You see, he does not need us to be capable or to be skilled or to be talented or experienced or worthy in order to use us. He simply needs us to be available, and he will take care of the rest. Some folks look at this teaching of Jesus about plucking out your eye as hyperbole. You know, that form of speech using gross exaggeration simply to make a point. And perhaps it is. But Jesus' words are literal and they are true if we are talking about our eye, as in me, myself, and I. Because if I cannot get myself out of the way, I will not be able to see him and to see what he has done for me. As long as I, like the rich young man, wonder what I must do to be saved, I will never be able to see what Jesus has already done. He paid for my sin through his death on the cross. and he secured my salvation by rising from a grave for me. I am a forgiven child of God because of what he has done for me, with no regard to nor concern for who I am. Any change that you want to make in your life, any obstacle that you want to overcome, any challenge that you are preparing to face, must always begin with a recognition of who God is and not who you are. You must pluck the I out of the situation and must rely solely on the strength and the love and the mercy of God. For remember, he is with you. As he promised to be with Moses, so he has promised to be with us. Remember Jesus' words to the disciples before his ascension. Lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. May we thus have the courage to go wherever God leads us, knowing that he is with us for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. In his name, amen.